Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Well, that's the sound of rock cracking, and I can tell you for the first time from this microphone that in 2016, the race for the Republican nomination, all the rocks have settled, and there's been a lot of rubble and cracking and political backbiting, and my goodness, they've come up with a nominee. And we're talking about that today's show. We got a lot to talk about, including how it happened, what happened with the Donald Trump becoming triumphant. And we have so much to, and some clips and what to tell you about. Hey, you know, my listeners know I'm a Ted Cruz guy and he's out of the race now. Nobody expected that. Was it the right thing to do? Well, we're talking about that. And what does the future hold now that Donald Trump has become the presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States? What does it mean? There's all kinds of stories on this unbelievable event that we've been talking about. If you go back in the archives, since last June when he announced. So let's get on with the show. First, before we get into that, let me tell you that we did have Phyllis Schlafly on several weeks ago, and she is a Trump supporter and didn't get to play all that interview, so we're going to play some of the clips of that on the second half of the show. You want to hear Phyllis Schlafly, and wow, it has been a brutal battle. Brutal battle. Let's listen to what Donald Trump had to say after the Indiana victory last week.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. I want to start by, as always, thanking my family, my wife, Melania, my kids. They're not kids anymore, but they're kids as far as I'm concerned. They'll always be my kids. And I want to thank my great parents who are looking down right now and my brother looking down on us. I want to thank my entire family, including Marianne Elizabeth Robert. And it's been some unbelievable day and evening and year, and never have been through anything like this, but it's a beautiful thing to watch and a beautiful thing to behold. And we're going to make America great again.
Well, that was Donald announcing his speech there in New York at his headquarters and surrounded by his family and so many supporters. And it was very much a victory speech, because if he had lost Indiana, the campaign and contest would have moved on to the West, where Cruz had some states lined up. But Trump won. He won handedly. By, what, 15 points. It wasn't even close. And remember, Kasich and Cruz had teamed up, but Kasich would stay out of Indiana and try to give Cruz a chance. They had to do it. They had seen polls, evidently, and they knew Trump was coming on strong in Indiana. And how would they tackle that? You can say all you want about the strategy, and it turned some people off. It was the last-ditch effort. Same thing with Carly Fiorina. Hey, I like Carly. Everybody likes Carly. Is she vice presidential material? Would she have helped Ted Cruz? Well, evidently, it didn't work in Indiana. Probably wouldn't have worked anywhere else. But I think Ted Cruz was seeing he had to be very risky and take some big risk. It didn't work for him. And what do you feel about Ted Cruz getting out? Did anybody really expect it? He was saying he'd be going on. And let's hear what Ted Cruz had to say, because there's some, I want you to listen to this, and I got something I'm going to tell you right after you listen.
From the beginning, I've said that I would continue on as long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed. Together, we left it all on the field in Indiana. We gave it everything we've got. But the voters chose another path. And so, with a heavy heart, but with boundless optimism for the long-term future of our nation, we are suspending our campaign.
Well, that's how Ted Cruz suspended or ended his campaign for the Republican nomination. He's worked hard. But just before he said we're suspending our campaign, he talked about he would still be vigorous in fighting for the constitutional principles and for the long-term health of America. So saying that, is he getting geared up for 2020? Is Marco Rubio getting geared up for 2020? Are they both going to be sort of on the sidelines when so many others like Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Chris Christie will be getting behind Trump and pushing Trump? Well, for a while, they're going to have to lick their wounds. And this is my gut feeling. It's been brutal on Ted Cruz. And he came out with some nasty things on Trump. Of course, Trump said the nasty things first. As you know, the last week before Indiana, the National Enquirer came out talking about trying to link Ted Cruz's father to Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot and murdered, assassinated John Kennedy, President Kennedy. Now, it was way out in alien space land, what the National Enquirer did. Then Donald Trump, before Indiana, was reading it as if it was a real newspaper. So, and Trump's smart. He knows what he's doing. He plants these things in people's mind, and it's worked successfully. Have you seen how Donald Trump? Well, let me finish this thought on Ted Cruz, then I'm going to tell you some things on Trump. But you got to see where Ted Cruz is looking for the future. And he has this gut feeling that he needs to be president of the United States for a reason. I don't think Ted Cruz wants it for any ego, but he did not. Now, I don't say he does not. He can develop it. But he did not have that charisma that the Christian right and a lot of those social conservatives had wrapped in on Ted Cruz, and including me. I liked what he had to say really about Constitution and fiscal policies, but I liked his social conservatism. But he couldn't get beyond that core group. He had it set up where all the anti-Trump and the never-Trump people could have gleefully and enthusiastically got behind Ted Cruz. But when it came to that point, nobody rushed. I won't say nobody, but the majority of those who didn't want Trump did not rush to Ted Cruz's side. They did not rush to his side. And therefore, Ted Cruz was thinking he'd get a lot of momentum, and they got it in Wisconsin, but then it drifted away. It was not sticking to him. So can he develop that? Well, here's my gut feeling. I'll tell you my gut feeling. I think one of the best choices for vice president for Donald Trump could be Ted Cruz. Now, would he take it? Would he run with Donald Trump? I don't know, but Ted Cruz has a great ground game ready to go that could be infused with his being placed in the VP slot. And as Cruz made his speech, he was talking about how his father, Rafael Cruz, who's been on this radio show, and long before most people knew who Ted Cruz was, his father was on. We interviewed him right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and I want to tell you that I believe it could be a good move. It's too early. Everything's too nasty. It'll take a week or two. But if Donald Trump wants to get the conservative base behind him, who better than Ted Cruz? If he needs a ground game that's developed, that can be set up and go, who had a better ground game than Ted Cruz? If you want somebody that knows the Constitution, if you want somebody who's not afraid to talk about Hillary Clinton, who's best? Ted Cruz. Now, the disadvantages is Donald Trump said he wants somebody that gets along well with those in the House and the Senate. And so Ted Cruz might not be the right person. But again, Trump said he wasn't going to, he was probably get an insider. He's keeping things open, and he should. But you remember, he got one of the head persons on his vice presidential selection committee is who else but Ben Carson. And Ben, he's tired of politicians. He said so. So maybe he can convince Donald Trump to get somebody outside of the insiders, outside of the establishment. But these are the things that are now being said and settled. And I just, what I started to talk about a while ago, Donald Trump, the way he tore into Ted Cruz and his family and Heidi, and he did all these things, and he pulls back, oh, I didn't mean it, this, and you know, same thing with little Marco. And one of his best friends now is Ben Carson, who's helping him find a vice president. But if you remember just a few months ago, Ben Carson was number one in the important state of Iowa. And what did Donald Trump do? He went in, you remember, he said, he went after his mama with a hammer. Is that somebody you want in the White House and making the decisions for our country? Donald Trump went after Ben Carson. He went after Huckabee. He went after anybody. You remember how he went after viciously after Rand Paul? Hey, what are you doing still down there on this debate stage? Wow. But I will have to say this. Well, I tell you what. I got something I wanted to say. One of my favorite lines, I can't say the favorite, one of my favorite lines from the debate of Donald Trump. Let me play just after he won Indiana. Bill O'Reilly had him on his Fox show. And so let me just play this introduction of Bill O'Reilly. And right at the end, I'm going to add something to it. Okay? Take a listen.
Your Eye Factor's on tonight.
Ted Cruz, I don't know if he likes me or if he doesn't like me, but he is one hell of a competitor. He is a tough, smart guy.
Donald Trump wins, but chaos still reigns inside the Republican Party. Mr. Trump will be here tonight.
Donald Trump not only can win the presidency, he probably will win the presidency, and mainly because folks on the liberal side continue to say, it's over.
Is that a sincere statement or misinformation designed to motivate Democrats? We'll have a special report.
I'm not going to pay for that wall. He should pay for it.
Also ahead, the former president of Mexico on Trump's big, beautiful border wall.
That was Bill O'Reilly's show introducing when they had Donald Trump and the former president of Mexico, who said he wouldn't build that blankety blank wall. And Donald Trump said Mexico's going to build the wall. But it takes me back, and you remember during the debates, there's one time and one of the reporters, they questioned the moderator, said, you know, the former president of Mexico said he was not going to build that wall. And what was Donald Trump's response? Do you remember? I remember it. It just tickled me. You got your eyes on Donald Trump, the whole nation looking at him. And what did Donald Trump say when he said that the president said Mexico wasn't going to pay for that wall? Donald Trump said, it just got 10 feet taller. It just got 10 feet taller or higher. But wow, He is witty and he can think on his feet. So whenever Donald Trump wins and builds that wall, we're going to have everybody going, if it wasn't for that comment, it'd be 10 feet shorter. But that's Donald Trump, folks. You don't know what he's going to say, but he is the Republican nominee. Will be in when the convention rolls around in July. So he's getting together his game plan for, you know, he's vanquished all out of 17. He knocked off 17. And then Ted Cruz, did Ted Cruz drop out too soon? No, I think it's good. I don't think Ted Cruz should have kept on going. He had a long shot as it was, but it would not have been good to keep going. And it's good for the party. It's good for the country to not drag it out. And then John Kasich got out. Let me play this clip from John Kasich. Then we're going to take our midpoint break. And when we get back, like I said, I have some more of the clip from Phyllis Schlafly before, of course, this is before Trump got the nomination a few weeks ago. But first, let's go here and listen to John Kasich when he stepped out of the race.
Our staff, nobody has ever done more with less in the history of politics than what this staff has done. I mean, it's kind of always been this way. It's been a mystery to me, other than to say that I like to think that they think that they've been part of something bigger than themselves. And we all want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think we do it with honesty and integrity. And as a result, I think I know, and I sure hope and pray that they feel that this experience that they have had in this campaign has improved and in some way changed their lives for the better. And so I'm looking forward to being able to spend more time with them. The volunteers, just amazing. I don't know how many, 800 people we had. Is it 800 people that went to New Hampshire? People who went to Michigan, people were in South Carolina. I mean, I would show up places and there were like people I knew. And I'm like, why are you here?
Well, John, or Governor Kasich, people were sometime were wondering, well, why are you here? Especially when you only won one state and you kept showing up. And there are some people, and I heard that Glenn Beck was talking about if Kasich had just gotten out, then Ted Cruz would have gotten everything consolidated behind him. I don't think so. I don't think so. Donald Trump was a buzzsaw to every candidate that went up against him. And how he did it, it was unique and different from anything we've seen in our lifetimes in American politics for president of the United States. Different. Now, on paper, again, Hillary Clinton, like in New York, and I've said it, she got 1.3 million votes. Donald Trump got 300,000. Trump is running behind in the numbers. He has got to reach out. He's got to grow the Republican Party. He's got to get the dissatisfied conservatives. He's got to get everybody on board to win this thing. But he has some unique abilities. He was the buzzsaw that nobody saw happening. He chopped up every candidate. Cut them in two and chopped them up, he doesn't have any political experience. But you see, he's been doing that all his life. He has not applied it to the political field. So just a minute, we got Phyllis Schlafly coming up. But first, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. We're in an exciting time. We're going to be picking a president for the United States starting in January 2017 term. It's come down basically to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Who would have ever thought Donald Trump would outlast 17 people handedly, winning the nomination, does not have to go to a contested convention. Wow. Well, This is exciting times. That's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We'll tell you some things here you won't hear anywhere else. Our commentary is unique and instructive, and we put together a program that we're proud of. We've got listeners around the country, and we want you to get your friends and neighbors, tell them about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and it does help support our show when you order the book, our new book called Bedrock Truths. I say our because I wrote it together with Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and Dr. Alex McFarland, who's been around the country, evangelist, and does radio. So I just want to say go to the front page of this Rock Splitting Politics. Click on the cover, Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. You'll be glad you did. Order the book. Get one for your friends. You can go there. If you got an Amazon card, yes, you can order it on Amazon. But I just want you to understand that we are glad that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I love doing this show because I love my country, and we got to work together to wrestle the power away from the radical left. America has been transformed under 8 years. Will it continue a transformation under Hillary Clinton with 3 or 4 additional Supreme Court justices? We got to work hard. We got to work hard, folks. So let me just say this. I'm glad you're listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. Check us out on Facebook. We'll put some things in there that we can't get to during the week. And now, I want you to listen to Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis Schlafly, this is recorded again several weeks ago when we had her on the show. Didn't get all it played the first time. So listen to her. Then I got some insights on what's going on for this presidential election. And then we'll end up the show and can't wait to see you next week. All kind of things are going on, aren't they? But it's an exciting time. We're glad you're listening. Here's Phyllis Schlafly. That was the Rolling Stones playing a clip that they have told Donald Trump to stop playing at his rallies. Donald Trump likes that Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones, but they've told him not to play it. But you heard it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
That's right.
But now, when you look at Trump in a general election, I know he says some polls show him winning, but most polls show him losing to Clinton by, 10 points and more. And especially the women vote. It seems like Trump has a long way to go to gain the respect of a majority of women. What would you say to that?
Well, you are right, although I thought, really, women like strong men.
Well, I know it. You may have to stand beside Donald Trump, get him to let you stand beside him, and maybe that'll help bring these women on board if he gets the nomination.
Well, I think he would be better for our country, and he's not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect.
No,
isn't. He's got a lot of defects, but nevertheless, I think his heart's in the right place, and he really wants to make America great.
Do you think he would surround himself with good, strong conservatives?
Yes, he's already started to do that.
Has he given you any indications of different people he might
He's already appointed a couple of people. Mm-hmm. He's appointed the son of one of my longtime Eagles, who was a great helper in helping us defeat the Equal Rights Amendment.
Uh-huh.
And so you're right. Their advisors are very, very important, and I'll watch that carefully.
Well, that's something I know since you've already talked to Mr. Trump. hope he'll listen to you, because I do. I put a lot of trust in you because you have got the experience and you've got the know-how and you know how to stop the liberal advance. So I do hope you'll stay close, and Trump will be smart to keep you nearby and rely on a lot of your experience and a lot of your knowledge.
Well, I hope so. I'd be glad to give him some good advice.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to encourage my listeners and everybody to tell Mr. Trump to have a red phone. He can dial you up immediately when he needs to. Then
okay.
Well, tell me, I know we got a couple more minutes here. As far as you've been to convention since 1952. I know you were there. Were you there in 76 when Ford and Reagan fought it out?
Yes, absolutely. When Reagan missed it so narrowly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what he did after that 76 convention was to travel the country. And, you know, he wouldn't fly in those years, so he had to go by train and car all over the country, and he listened to the grassroots and what they wanted, and that's when he became a really authentic conservative.
And so really those 4 years might have really invested in, you know, he invested in them, listening to America.
They were invested in his education, and it was very useful.
Well, the conservative movement, and you, I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say, you know, you are one of the founding members of this conservative movement that has saved America. We don't have the power that the conservatives had at one time, but we can, if you look at what the Republicans have done, if they'll stick to that Republican platform that you talked about, there is a long way we can go, and we can make America great again, but it's going to take a lot of people working together. What insight do you see for America in the next few years if we can get a Republican president?
Well, I think if we got Trump, we would at least have a policy that is pro-American, and at least have a policy that where people believe in our country and believe our country should be the best. And I think that's extremely important.
Well, Phyllis Schlafly, I appreciate you coming on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Okay, and you check into my website, eagleforum.org, so you can keep your thinking in order.
That's great, and I want my listeners to do that too, eagleforum.com. Is that right?
No, .org.
Oh, yeah.
Eagleforum.org.
Okay, thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless.
Well, that was Phyllis Schlafly in her 90s. Has been to every Republican convention since 1952. Did she do a good thing, zero in on Donald Trump before people like Doc Holliday and others could really understand what was going on? I thought maybe she had picked the wrong horse, but you heard her. She knew what she was doing. She picked Donald Trump. And if you remember, we played in other clips that she liked him because he told her that he would stand on the Republican platform that she helped create here, you know, back a couple years ago, putting it together. Now, how much will Trump change the platform? How much will he keep to it? I think that's what inquiring minds want to know. But, yes, Phyllis Schlafly helped us see some things about Donald Trump, and she has keen wisdom, has shown that throughout her life, and she loves conservatism, and she was an early Donald Trump supporter. So now I hope that it gives you a better insight. And what do we do? Where do we go from here? What does Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics do? I told you we keep helping you help us together. We reach out to wrestle away the power of the radical left. We want more liberty, more freedom, and that means economic freedom. That means freedom from regulation. That means freedom to build new businesses, reaching out for all Americans. So that's what we're doing right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Glad you're listening to us. We have some exciting shows lined up, I'm telling you. Some good stuff is coming. And, you know, when have we talked about what's going on in the world? We've tried to touch on it through all this political running for the Republican nomination and Democratic nomination. We've covered so much we got to get to, so much we got to cover. Every week you'll get a new show, a little bit different. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. And next week we're going to dig in some more, get some more from what everybody had to say of Donald Trump. But can the media get enough of him? I don't think they can. Maybe he will be the next president of the United States. We'll see. All right. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.